Connecticut's primary results are in. Unofficial numbers showing a major shakeup in the first congressional district. Former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin defeated 14-term Congressman John Larson, marking a historic incumbent primary loss. Meanwhile, Governor Ned Lamont turned back a challenge from progressive state representative Josh Elliott. The winners now head towards November's general election against pretty competitive Republican opponents. For more key takeaways from the primary election here in Connecticut, we are checking in with Sacred Heart University political professor Dr. Gary Rose. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Good to hear from you.
It's great to hear from you as well. And let's start with, I think, probably the two biggest elections for primary day that Connecticut residents had their eyes on, which had to be the Lamont race and the Bronin race. Surprised? Not really. What does this mean for Connecticut? And especially with Bronin, what could this mean for us with representation in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there was no surprise really with the governor's race. I was a little surprised that that he got 68% of the vote. I know that the Sacred Heart polling that we did was a little lower than that, and I was a little surprised too that Elliott, you know, went over 30%. I thought he would stay somewhere around 25%, but nevertheless. You're absolutely right. There's no surprise there. I mean, the polling that had been done, not just our university, but in other polls too, always showed Lamont with a very comfortable lead, and that just was further evident in the final results. So, you know, they turned back a progressive challenge, and I think that in itself is a story because in across the country, you know, we saw like in Michigan and then of course in New York. Mm-hmm. We saw, you know, progressive Democrats making a lot of progress, a lot of success there in terms of winning their races. But here in Connecticut, there was a progressive challenger who only got about a third of the vote. And so traditional moderate Democrats still, you know, held the line in Connecticut. So we're not going the way of some of these other congressional districts across the country and some states that we've seen, you know, the progressive neo-socialists do very well, or not just neo-socialists, but actual socialists in some cases. Now, with respect to the first congressional district, yeah, big win for Bronin, you know, 54%. And he ran a very aggressive campaign against Larson. I was a little surprised at the margin. You know, you had Chris Murphy, Senator Murphy, who really has a strong, safe seat in Connecticut, very popular, endorsing Larson on television.
Yeah,
I thought that Murphy's endorsement was going to carry some weight in that primary. But apparently it did not. And the voters, they wanted change. And, you know, another thing, too, about that, you know, there was this notion that Larson really wanted to make sure that Gilchrist and Fortune were in the race, too, because they would draw votes from Bronin. But actually, it looks to me, from what I can tell, it looks like they took votes from Larson. So his strategy
kind of backfired.
Yeah, it kind of did. Yeah.
Well, and to be honest, Gary Rose, I'm really glad that you brought up the Murphy ad. I thought there was a disconnect there. And it honestly made him seem a little out of touch. And the reason I say that is you know, so for understandable reason, he's worked in Washington with John Larson. Totally fair. But I think there's a little bit of, wait, what? Because the Democratic Party in Connecticut backed Bronin. I mean, they endorsed him in May. And so it felt very like last ditch effort to have Chris Murphy say, you know, I would only support John Larson. I mean, it was a very aggressive, I thought, television ad campaign. I know exactly what you're talking about. And to me, I thought there was a little bit of a disconnect because you heard basically from the Connecticut Democratic Party that they overwhelmingly supported Bronin. So that I did find that really interesting to see. You know, and again, I'm sure John Larson, you know, obviously has made very strong connections with the other representatives for Connecticut and Washington, D.C. But I did think that was interesting that Chris Murphy came out so strongly when it doesn't actually match the state's party endorsement.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Bronin won the convention, which was interesting. But at the same time, you know, you're right. There was somewhat of a disconnect there. But, you know, Chris Murphy, though, has carried a lot of weight in Democratic circles in Connecticut. He's almost like the head of the party, even though formally he's not. And so that's why I thought, OK, he's come to the rescue. And I think that was going to elevate Larson's numbers. But it did not work. And so the voters, obviously, in the first congressional district wanted to have change. And it was a generational, you know, a generational change issue there. And that's really what Bronin ran on. And that even said, John Larson's a good man, but he's been here too long and we need more energy. And that's really what it was. It was a vote for energy. It had nothing to do. It was very different than the governor's race, which was an ideological battle. But this one was just generational, and the voters just wanted something new, and they had tired of John Larson.
Dr. Gary Rose is here, Sacred Heart University political professor, and we're talking about the primary election results. Unofficial numbers showing that former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin defeated 14-term Congressman John Larson, making a historic incumbent primary loss there. Also, Governor Ned Lamont defeating State Representative Josh Elliott. And now we'll face Senator Ryan Fazio. So a couple things on that one. First of all, do you think, Gary, that the ad campaigns, especially coming from Josh Elliott, do you think that hurts Lamont in November? Or do you think now that Josh has said last night, hey, we're rallying behind Lamont, we're a solid front, and we need to defeat Fazio, do you think the ads stick with voters? I mean, because it I will say I felt Josh Elliott was pretty hard on Lamont, understandably so, and I don't think he was wrong in a lot of the things that he always said, but does that hurt Lamont in November?
I don't think it does. He ran these ads. You're right. They were harsh ads. They were really strong attacks.
He compared him to a baby's dirty diaper at one point. But yeah, for people who haven't seen it. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, does that hurt him at all in the end? Or is that just people, like, will people see that's political, you know, jargon, or that's just how it kind of goes?
No. I think that by the time November comes around, we're going to have a plethora of new ads. And Josh Elliott is in many ways, I don't want to reduce it to this, but I think that he'll be a footnote in the whole story of this campaign, and his ads will be forgotten about, certainly. I mean, nobody's going to remember some of those attack ads at all. And Lamont has unlimited resources to present himself in a very positive way to the voters. And so, I'm not at all of the opinion that Josh Elliott has injured Lamont heading into the general election. I don't think that's the case at all. And most people don't remember ads anyway. When you get into the primary ads kind of fade away. So, you know, even though, I mean, he got close to a third of the vote. Now, maybe some of these progressives, you know, were against Lamont anyway, irrespective of Josh's ads. And maybe when the general election comes along, rather than vote for Lamont or Fazio, which they would certainly not do, they might just stay home. That might be the only impact that those negative ads that you're talking about might have in November.
Interesting. Speaking of Fazio, it's interesting that when I've gone out and talked about the primary to just random people, no matter where I go, stores or, you know, out in public, whatever. And they don't know what I do for a living, and it's better that way. I just kind of want to gauge where people are at. There are so many people who don't even know who Ryan Fazio is. And I'm wondering if you feel like, well, I know Senator Fazio has been going out because I track all the candidates. I follow them on social media and stuff like that. Do you feel like he's kind of rested a bit, knowing that he wanted to play out what was going to happen with the primary election and now will double down? And if that is the case, Dr. Gary Rose, do you feel like he kind of wasted time, or do you feel like he's done a good job getting himself out there?
No, we got to know him a little bit when Aaron Stewart was a candidate, because Ryan was starting to run ads. And then he really went under the radar for quite a while because of, I think, that Democratic primary. I think what he really is doing is, or what he did was he kept his powder dry until that primary was over. And, you know,
do you think that was a good move, though?
I do think it was, because there was no point in him running. He had the nomination, of course, already. There was no point in him. And he was like the third wheel, you know, that was out there while this primary was going on. Yeah. So I would say that we're going to after yesterday. Now I think the electorate here in Connecticut's going to get to know who Ryan Fazio actually is. And he's got plenty of time now to really introduce himself in a very strong way. I know that, you know, the matchup there, he was well behind Ned Lamont. But nevertheless, I didn't put much stock in that because, like I said, he was kind of waiting to see what happened. And then now we're gonna get to know Ryan in a big way. So that original poll that showed him 20 points behind Lamont, I think, was a little premature because Ryan had not really been campaigning very hard yet. But now it begins in earnest.
Mm.
It's a whole new ball game.
And when you look at going back to the Bronin race, again, we have Dr. Gary Rose here from Sacred Heart University. When you look at the Bronin race now, the first congressional district, and again, he also has a Republican opponent. I don't know Amy Chai very well. We do look forward to having her on the show, hopefully very soon. But when you look at just that historic upset with an incumbent who had been in for 14 terms, do you anticipate Connecticut voters, especially if we see in the coming years other, dare I say, younger or just different-minded Democrats, candidates coming forward, do you see the same fate for a Rosa DeLauro, a Senator Richard Blumenthal? And again, I'm not attacking age. I'm more attacking that they've been in office for a very long time. And I know the Democratic Party, I think a lot, there was a very big wake-up call, is my understanding from Democrats, after Donald Trump won a second term in office. And so do you see a similar pattern in other congressional or even, like I said, the Blumenthal race eventually, or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure there are some Democrats that want to get into public service and are hoping to win a seat in Congress. And they've observed what happened in the first congressional district. And maybe they're thinking now is a good time to start, you know, formulating a plan to do that. So, yeah, I think I agree with you, Melissa. I think that what happened in the first district could set in motion you know, other campaigns to challenge, like you say, people like Rosa DeLauro, who's been there, it seems like forever, you know, and maybe others too. And so Courtney possibly, and I don't know about Himes. I think he'd be pretty safe, and Hayes looks pretty safe too. But nevertheless, you know, you mentioned Rosa DeLauro. I think that could be something that we could see in the next election cycle, is maybe an upstart Democrat.
So I don't know if your brain went here, Gary, but I got to say it. Do we think there is a reality of, because Josh Elliott technically lives in her district?
Mm.
That's where my brain went after this loss, because to be fair, Josh Elliott did say he would not run as an independent or try to run for the independent line for gubernatorial. I do know he wants to stay as a reelection bid for state rep. But do we see him throw the hat in to challenge DeLauro?
Well, you know, Josh is, like I said, I think he'll be definitely a kind of a forgotten candidate once the general election takes place this year. But Josh is certainly has his sights set on big things. And so,
well, and he's relevant right now.
Yeah, we may not have heard the end of him. And you're right. I mean, he has a safe seat in Hamden there. And so now maybe he's thinking along the lines of taking DeLauro on in a congressional race, shift his emphasis from the governor's race to Congress. And so, yeah, I think there's a, you know, your scenario there, I think, makes a lot of sense. Whether you know, he could actually, or anybody could dislodge Rosa DeLauro, I think, again, that might be very difficult because she really has a strong, safe seat there. Mm. But nevertheless, I wouldn't be surprised to see an attempt like that. And yeah, it might very well be Josh Elliott, too. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll...
That's an interesting scenario.
Thank you. Listen, I'm always thinking, Gary Rose, and I appreciate you even entertaining my, you know, my deep thoughts that I have late at night when I watch primary results come in. I also so appreciate you always giving us the time here on WICC. Dr. Gary Rose, thank you for what you do, political professor at Sacred Heart, and this is certainly not the last time we will speak between now and the general election. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
Appreciate it.